is The Answer, our weekly internet radio show about relationships. I am Batabile Mtumbini, relationship mediator and conflict coach, coming to you live from Harlem, USA. Very proud to be able to say that. And you've just been listening to Paula Terra, a piece by the Akoya Afrobeat Ensemble. Founding member Duke Bantu X is a friend of mine, and so I'm really happy to be able to bring this music to you. It follows in the path pioneered by the great Fela Kuti. So to all my Nigerian friends out there, that's for you. If you want more information about the Akoya Afrobeat Ensemble, check them out on MySpace. The website is www.myspace.com, of course, and then it's / Akoya Afrobeat. And that's spelled AKOYAFROBEAT. So Akoya Afrobeat. MySpace.com/ Akoya Afrobeat. And I do want to take a moment to talk with you about the music that you'll be hearing on the show each week. Those of you who know me know that I'm a bit of a musician myself. I'm amateur, to be clear. If I were to perform, I probably would have to get waivers from people so that they didn't sue me for hurting their ears or something like that. No, I'm not that bad. But, I'm a musician myself, and I feel a responsibility to use whatever resources I have to promote music that might otherwise not be heard in the commercial mainstream. So much of what you hear on the radio is a result of business decisions rather than decisions based on artistic merit or creativity or talent. Now, one exception to that that I'm really excited about, I'm so glad to be able to mention this on the show this week, is Esperanza Spalding, who won the Grammy for Best New Artist. That was a momentous occasion for a lot of people. It really brought light to a community that is unfortunately not heralded as well as I think it should be. I was watching with a group of friends, most of whom are musicians, and you should have heard us raise the roof when we found out that Esperanza Spalding had won. Now, the next day, I heard a lot of people being really surprised and shocked, really, because they had no idea who Esperanza Spalding is. And I take that as part of an indication of what I'm talking about. This phenomenal artist really was unknown to the mainstream. So it's a sad reality in the music business, and I'm aiming to do my part to kind of subvert that by bringing you music from musicians who are outside the commercial mainstream, who do lead the cutting edge and establish new frontiers in music. So a lot of the music may sound kind of strange to you. It sounded strange to me when I first started listening to it, but then I discovered that when I stopped expecting a certain format in the music, the one we've been sort of conditioned into, that you've got certain kind of lyrics and it takes a certain form and, there is a certain melody to it. Once I learned to let go of that and just sit back and let the music happen, I began to really, really enjoy it. And I'm hoping to share that with you and hoping that you can develop a similar appreciation. So listen with an open mind, and if you are curious about what you're hearing, drop me a note, and I'd love to share more with you. We are accessible by email, info@123untangled.com, or visit our website, www.123untangled.com, and leave me a note, and I'd love to share a little bit more about the music for you. And speaking of music and women in music, it is also my true honor to give you the following information about the 9th annual Lady Got Chops Women's Music Women's Month Music and Arts Festival. Let me try that again. It's the 9th annual Lady Got Chops Women's Month Music and Arts Festival. And it is headed up by Kim Clark, who's a fantastic musician herself. She also happens to play bass. And so I am happy to present you with the information about the festival. There are a lot of musicians who will be playing over the month of March, women-led bands and solo performances as well, I'm sure. I'll give you a few dates to begin with and give you a little bit more later on in the show. March 1st, for example, Kim Clark is going to appear at Shrine, which is at 2271 Adam Clayton Powell Boulevard here in New York City in Harlem. I'm proud to say right here in Harlem. And She will be there 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. There's a cover charge of $10. But I really encourage you to come out. I love Shrine and the Kim Clark Duo. On March 2nd, it's Jan Leader and Janice Friedman at the Bowery Wine Company, 13 East 1st Street in New York, which is on the Lower East Side. And also on March 2nd at 5C, the Cultural Center and Cafe at 68 Avenue C, the Lady Got Chops Unplugged series gets underway, and Lisa Parrott Fast Rat Trio will be headlining there from 8 to 10 p.m. There is a $10 cover charge plus $6 per set veggie food and drink minimum, and that's something I really love about Cafe 5C. I've been there a number of times, and they've got this wonderful vegetarian menu, and being that I'm vegan myself, I really appreciate that. So those are just a few of the performances that are happening to kick off the month for the 9th annual Lady Got Chops Women's Month Music and Arts Festival. For more information about the whole lineup, I invite you to visit the website. That would be at www.kimclark.8m.com. If you've got your pens out and paper, go ahead and write that down, kimclark.8m.com/ladyfest9.html. And you really do need to put all of that in there. Kim Clark, and Clark is spelled with an E, so it's kimclark.8m.com/ladyfest9.html. Okay, so again, today we heard from the Akoya Afrobeat Ensemble, and I'm playing them today because I want to give a special welcome to my listeners in South Africa. Yes, I was so excited to learn that folks in South Africa are listening to the show. And since one of the founders of the Akoya Afrobeat Ensemble is Duke Bantu X, who is also from South Africa, who's from Durban originally, and who's actually listening to the show right now. Hey there, Duke. I decided to share this music on the show today. And there are two people in particular I'd like to send shout-outs to. The first is actually my cousin, and his name is Nzi Magagula. And I want to take a moment to explain how it is that we are cousins. So the show is about relationships, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about the relationship here with the Mtombini family and the Magagula family. In Southern Africa, I guess you could say, in South Africa, in Zulu culture, in Ndebele culture, a person's family is defined as being much broader than would be the norm in most European cultures. So in our situation, a person who has a last name that is amongst the names that is in your family's praise names, they're called Istagazela. So if you share praise names, then you are considered to be related. And so the Magagula family and the Mtombini family and the Duma family, these are some of the families that are linked together by common ancestry, and so we share similar praise names, and these are my cousins. So, hey there, Mzi. Good to have you here on the show. I also want to welcome a friend of mine who may be listening now, certainly will be listening to the archive, so I want to make sure to get his name out there. But let me give you a little bit of background. You know, when I introduce myself, I tell people my name is Batabile. And a really common response here in the United States is, wow, that's interesting. Such a beautiful name, but I don't think I can say that. You know, it's kind of complicated. You know, I don't want to mess it up. And I've thought that what I can do now to help people feel better about that is perhaps introduce them to my friend Tolinkanta Qabashe. Tolinkanta Qabashe. Oh my goodness, I've just screwed it up myself. And you bet I've been practicing how to say his name, Tolinkanta Qabashe. So I figure after you've heard that name, my name will just roll off the tongue. Batabile. That's it. Batabile. It's a really special name, actually. You know, names in Nguni culture are, as in most cultures, in every culture, they're really important, but they have special meanings. And his name means to bring luck. Uktola is to gather, to garner. And Nkanka means luck. So his name is Bring Luck, and I'm hoping that he brings good luck to the show today. So we are here on the show to talk about relationships, and I want to invite you all to participate, to call in. The show is only as much fun as it is when we've got a bunch of people coming together to talk about what's going on in their lives. And I want to kick it off by telling you a bit of a story, and I want you to know that it's okay to call in and give me your stories as well, because we're really interested in what's going on in people's lives, right? So last week, I was hanging out with a bunch of friends of mine, one of them who has given me permission to use his name, and I'm only going to use his first name. His name is Ian, and Ian is a good friend. He's also a musician. He plays bass as well, and he's in a band called The Mighty Third Rail, and I'm hoping to be able to bring you their music at a later show, but Ian and his band, The Mighty Third Rail, had a gig last week, and after the gig, we were all hanging out, a bunch of people, and somebody asked the question, so, what did everybody do for Valentine's Day? And there was a couple there, and they said, well, you know, we went out to dinner, and it was really sweet and romantic, you know, sort of the traditional things that couples do on Valentine's Day. And there was another guy there, and he said, yeah, you know, I took my girlfriend out for dinner, and, you know, it was kind of expensive, but it's Valentine's Day, it was worth it. And then Ian pipes up, and he said, I got yelled at by my girlfriend for Valentine's Day. We all kind of sat back and we said, what? What happened? Why would you be yelled at by your ex-girlfriend for Valentine's Day? And he said, well, you know, I called her. And we said, okay. And he said, he said I called her because I wanted to see how she was doing. And I said, oh, on Valentine's Day. And he said, yeah, you know, I care about her, and I wanted to see how she was doing. And I said, so did she break up with you, or did you break up with her? And he says, no, I broke up with her. And I said, and you yelled at her. She yelled at you. And he says, yeah, man, you know, I wasn't, you know, I just, look, this is just from me. This is where I'm coming from as far as this is concerned. The last thing a woman wants on Valentine's Day is to hear from the man who broke her heart, calling her to find out how she's doing. No matter how well-meaning you are, I believe you're going to get the same response that poor Ian got, because I'm sure she told him exactly how she was doing. She told him precisely. And then she proceeded to tell him about himself. Now, I wasn't privy to this conversation. I don't know what happened, but I think that I can be pretty sure that she then proceeded to tell him who he was and where he could go and what he could do with himself once he got there. But that's just me. I don't know. You know, would you contact your ex-girlfriend or ex-boyfriend on Valentine's Day to see how they're doing? Is that a good idea? I want to hear from you, so please feel free to call in. The phone number is 818-532-9789. That's 818-532-9789. And for those of you who have Skype, it's really easy. It's toll-free. Just go to the website for the show, and you should see there a logo for Skype, and you should be able to Skype in. You may need to set up a profile on Blog Talk Radio in order to do that, and I welcome you to do it. It's really fast and easy, and that means that you can then also join the chat room, and we have the chat room over here. So I've gone over to the chat room, and I'm going to see what folks are saying here in the chat room about the question that I've asked about calling your ex on Valentine's Day. And I have one person here who says, I definitely would call my ex on V-Day. Why? Because I was taught many years ago never to burn bridges. you may have to cross it again one day. Yeah, that's a really interesting and wise thing to consider as well. You know, you don't want to burn bridges. Life is unpredictable, and you never know when you're going to cross paths with that person again. So this person would actually call his ex or her ex on Valentine's Day. Let me see here. Somebody else here says, I certainly would want to, but I managed to talk myself out of it. It really depends on why the relationship ended and what you want from that person going forward. Very wise, very wise, very thoughtful. It can be a selfish move. That's right. You want to ask yourself about your motivation for calling your ex on Valentine's Day. What really are you looking to accomplish in making that phone call? So join the chat room. I'm going to be hopping over there every so often to see what's going on in the chat room and perhaps read your questions and your answers. But do feel free to call in 818-532-9789. And there's another bit of business that I want to present to you now, and perhaps I'll bring this up again a little later in the show. If you like the show, it's helpful for you to let us know. It's helpful in terms of raising our ratings so that the show can continue to be aired. And one way that you can do that is to go on the blogtalkradio.com website. That's blogtalkradio.com/Batavile. And you'll see my picture there. That's really me. It's a fabulous picture that was taken by a wonderful photographer. His name is Ricky Day, and he is based here in New York City. And if you want information about him, feel free to contact me as well. I can recommend him 100%, Ricky Day. And if you look right above my picture, you'll see a button there that says follow. See that button? Yeah, that one right there, right there. So you just take the pointer, the arrow, and just go up there and just click on it. That's right. You just click on it right there. That's all it took. See that? It was really easy, right? So you just go ahead and click on follow, and that lets me know that you are listening to the show and allows me to send you updates, which won't happen too often. You're not going to be getting spammed or anything like that. But then you'll always know what's going on with the show and get updates about the show. And then it also lets blogtalkradio.com know that people are listening to the show and can help us to raise the profile of the show as well. Also, I invite you to come onto Facebook if you have a Facebook account and like 123 Untangled, and that is our name there on Facebook. So you can come on and search for 123 Untangled and click on that little button there that says like, and that also helps us to know that you are listening to the show and that you like what we're doing. And if you don't like what we're doing, I really want to hear from you anyway, or I especially want to hear from you, actually. I want to hear how we can improve the show. So please stay in touch. All right. So we're going to get into what the topic of the show is right now. And the topic of the show today is What Do I Say Part 2? What Do I Say Part 2? And we're following up, of course, on Part 1. Could have thunk it. And Part 1 last week, when we talked about What Do I Say, we talked about paraphrasing. So I'm going to review a little bit. In fact, I'm going to go back a bit and review for folks who might be tuning into the radio show for the first time. And also, you know, just for people who have been listening as well, it's always useful to have a refresher. So we started out with Listen to Be Heard. And the first show was called Listen to Be Heard. And what I brought forward in that show was that while people in arguments are often told to listen to each other, it's helpful for them to understand what to listen for. And what they're listening for are positions, interests, and needs. And in the first show, I explained that positions are like the demands that people make in arguments, like the car is mine, or I get the house. And they are assertions like you don't have the right to do that. So demands or assertions are another way of thinking of, is another way of thinking of positions in an argument. And then interests tell us why you hold that position. Why is it important for you to have the car? Why do you believe that you deserve to get the house? Why do you believe that the other person shouldn't have a right to do whatever it is that they want to do? And then you have needs. And the needs explain why the interest exists. So that's where you're getting down to the real bottom of what's going on when people have a disagreement. Usually it has to do with people not understanding each other's needs and being able to talk through creative ways to be able to meet the needs of everyone who's involved. Rather, people get stuck on the positions and going back and forth about who's right and who's wrong about their positions. So it's important when you're in an argument and you're listening to somebody that you listen and you find a distinction between their positions, their interests, and their needs. And then we got to what do I say, part one. And we talked about paraphrasing and reframing. So paraphrasing is a technique whereby you have listened to someone, you've understood the difference between their positions, their needs, and their interests, and you're able to reflect them back to the other person, paraphrase them, say what it is that you've heard them say. And I joked that this is a technique that's used often in couples therapy, and that even people who are in business relationships and are coming in for mediation will sometimes in the middle of a mediation session sit up and say, wait a minute, I feel like I'm in couples therapy. And it's true, because the human being that you are in a romantic relationship is the same human being that you are in a business relationship. And so some of the things that are important in a romantic relationship are also important when you're relating to someone in a business relationship. So I suggest, again, that when you're reframing, you say to a person, so I understand that you say such and such and such. Okay, and if you're able to first state the position and then state the interest and then state the need, that can take some practice. You know, and that's where a mediator comes in and can be really important, because we are practiced, we are trained at being able to do just that. And it's important to paraphrase for three main reasons. There are many reasons why, but the three main reasons are these. First, it allows the person that you're speaking with to know that you have heard them. Because the only way that you will be able to say back to them what you have heard is if you actually were listening. So they will know. And sometimes in a mediation, I'll find that that's all it takes. All it takes is for me to listen to the person and then paraphrase back to them what they've heard. And suddenly they're not so mad anymore. They just needed somebody to understand them. And so you indicate that you've understood what they've said by paraphrasing. And let me make sure that you understand when I say understand, it doesn't necessarily mean agree. So we're not forcing anybody to agree with anybody else, but acknowledging that you have heard and understood what the other person has said is helpful without requiring you to actually agree with them. The second reason why paraphrasing is really important is that it allows the other person to hear what they sound like. You know, sometimes you, when you're angry, you say things, and when you hear what you say paraphrased back, you come to realize that, you know, perhaps you'd overstated it, or perhaps you'd left something out that was really important. So now you have an opportunity to correct the message if you've been had somebody paraphrase back to you what you've been saying, and that's the third important benefit of paraphrasing. It now gives an opportunity for the other person to come back and correct any misperceptions or add important information that might have been missing the first time around. You know, I've also found in mediation that you don't get the full story the first time around. It isn't until people are comfortable and really feel that they're going to be heard that they can start to really consider what's going on, and the full story then comes out. So it really is a process, and I encourage you all to think of these conversations as a process, and that paraphrasing is part of that process. And then as part of paraphrasing, there's reframing, which goes along with paraphrasing. Reframing is the way that you can take the accusations of the blame that often comes across when people state their positions, when people tell the story of why it is that they're so upset in mediation, and you take out that blame, you take out the accusation, and you focus on the interest and you focus on the needs. And that is a way of describing reframing. Again, it can be really hard to do that when you are the target of the blame and the accusation. When somebody hits you with blame and with accusations, your natural human inclination is to go on the defensive. You want to defend yourself. You want to say, that's not true. That is not the person I am. And so you then can start a whole new argument about who's right and who's wrong about that. So to avoid starting that new argument, I suggest that you focus on paraphrasing, that as you paraphrase, you reframe the message so that it is focused on the needs and the interests that the other person gave to you or expressed, that the other person expressed in the conversation. And again, this is where a mediator comes in and can be really important. You know, I'm a mediator, and I think that that might give people the impression that I never get into arguments. That is so not true. Ask any of my best friends. I get into arguments with people just like anybody else. Of course, arguments with me can be a little bit different because I do often slide into mediator role. But I often am in an argument in a situation. It's not that I get into arguments all the time, but I have situations where I could use a mediator. You know, expecting mediators not to get into arguments is like expecting doctors never to get sick. So I understand the benefit of having a mediator myself. And so in a situation where there's a lot of anger, a lot of accusations are going back and forth, and it's really difficult not to get on the defensive, then it's probably useful to bring in an impartial third party who can help you to have that conversation. But now that you know these things, it can be so much easier for you to have the conversation because you know how mediation works. So you are now more informed than the average person. Is that great? Yes. Okay. So now we come to today's topic. Can you imagine we've gone through all of that and we're just now getting to today's topic? I'm trying to move it along to make sure that you have the information, but you remain interested and you're not bored. So it's really great if you let me know. If I'm boring you to death, let me know. But I'm hoping that this information is useful to you. I'm sure that it's new to a lot of you, and I hope that you're able to use it. So today's topic is, what do I say, part two, separating intent from impact. We're going to try to learn how to separate intent from impact. And that actually is the meat of what happens in paraphrasing and reframing. You're not just saying back to the other person what you've heard, but then there is this part of it where you make a distinction between what assumptions you've made about what the person intended when you are in an argument with someone, or somebody has done something to hurt you, what did they intend, versus the impact that you actually experienced. And this is where we also get into answering the question, when do I get to tell my side? So for the last couple of weeks, you know, we've been talking about listening to be heard, and then what do I say? And so we're talking about what do I say. And, of course, I've been saying, say what the other person has been saying, and I'm more sure that people are wondering, well, when do I get to tell my side of the story? This is it. This is the moment you've been waiting for. When do I get to tell my side of the story? It is as important to ask that question, more as important as it is to ask that question, it is more important to ask how. How do I get to tell my side of the story? So you already know how it feels when a person accuses you of something and you go on the defensive and you are now ready to demonstrate to the other person, prove to the other person that you are not guilty as charged. And so rather than talking about the real issues between you, you have this conversation, this fight over who's right and who's wrong. So to avoid that, if you've had a problem with someone and you come to talk with them about that, I suggest asking really broad-based questions and bringing forward, you know, the issue. This is something that has happened. You know, it's something that you did, and I don't understand what was going on. I don't understand what went on with that, but it's had this impact on me. You know, it's had this impact on me, and it would be helpful for me to understand what happened. So you ask the question out of curiosity, come from a place of curiosity, without making assumptions about what the other person intended, or at least without expressing assumptions about what the other person intended. So I'm going to use an example. I'm going to give you an example, and I hope that this makes things easier for you to understand. Okay, so let's say that there are two people, they're living together, and they share a car. There's one car. And the one person decides that now would be a really great time to go to the grocery store because they're running low on food in the house. And, you know, tomorrow is a work day, so this is the best time to go shopping to get food for the home. And they come out into the living room and they look out the window, and lo and behold, the driveway is empty. No car. It's gone. So they're upset about this. You know, the car is gone, which means that the other person that they're living with obviously took the car. Didn't say anything to them. Didn't ask maybe, you know, would you need to use the car? Is it okay if I use the car? They just took off. And a couple of hours later, the other person comes home. And someone is mad. Somebody's really angry, and they've had a couple of hours to fume over this, so now they're really mad. And so we can imagine what happens. Conversation ensues, and it might go something like this. The person who took the car walks into the room, and they're off. The person who wanted to go to the grocery store says, "Where have you been?" And the person who took the car might say, "Well, you know, I went to the movies." You went to the movies? Do you know, I've been waiting here all this time, you know, I couldn't reach you. We have no food in the house. Tomorrow's a work day. I'm not going to have time to go to the store tomorrow. I needed to go and get something to eat. I mean, you know, we need food for the house, and you just took off and went to the movies? How could you be so selfish and irresponsible? And the person who comes in the door says, "What? Why are you yelling at me? I just went to the movie. I didn't know you needed to use the car. Why, you know, and of course I didn't talk to you about it. Every time I talk to you about anything, you're just yelling at me. All I do is get yelled at. Talk. You just yell at me day in and day out." Right? Sounds familiar, right? Well, it turns out that the reason that the person who took the car went to the movies was because that person had a really hard week. They'd had a really hard week and needed some time to relax and just unwind before starting the new week. And so they really didn't think about it. You know, they hadn't heard anything about anybody needing to use the car, so they took the car and they went to the movies. Now, imagine what the conversation might be like if the person who wanted to go to the store, instead of immediately flying off the handle when the first person comes in the door, when the second person comes in the door, says, "Oh, you know, I was surprised when I looked outside and I saw that the car was gone. I needed to go to the store. You know, we don't have food in the house. And so, you know, I'm feeling a little, you know, hampered here because I needed to go to the store. What happened?" You know, it's okay to ask what happened. Now, the person who has to explain what happened may feel a little bit defensive at that moment, but that can go away if you don't continue to give them a reason to feel defensive. Just listen. Listen to what the other person says. The person says, "Oh, I went to the movies." "Oh, you went to the movies. Okay, well, what was going on?" And that gives a person an opening to explain why they went to the movies, what their need was in going to the movies. And that gives you an opportunity to say, "Oh, I didn't know that you'd had such a hard week. what's going on for you. And if they need to talk about what happened that week, then you have a chance to do that. And now you have an opportunity to talk about what happens going forward. And talking about what happens going forward is really important because, you know, truth be told, you cannot change the past. It's something that we bring up in mediation all the time. It is helpful to talk about the past in order to understand how you got there, but you cannot change the past. Your power lies in being able to change the future. You can impact the future, and you can impact the future together. So now the person who went to the movies has an opportunity to think a little bit more broadly and perhaps apologize and say, you know what, I'm so sorry. I really wasn't thinking about this. I was so stressed out. I just needed to get out of here, and I didn't say anything to you about that, and that was wrong. And I don't want to do that in the future. Come, let's go to the grocery store together. I'll help you with the groceries, and I'll help you to put together the food for the week. So now you can collaborate on solving the problem, and you can come to an agreement that in the future, you're going to talk with each other about using the car. Now, of course, the way that I've explained this can sound really simplistic. Life is messy. But it really can be like that as well if you've learned and you've practiced. And I want to tell you that I was so happy to experience some of the power and the magic of mediation just this last week. I mediate for the CCRB, which is the Civilian Complaint Review Board. And that is an organization that handles civilian complaints about the police here in New York City. So I can assure you, I mean, I know you know, that when people are coming to the CCRB, they're very, very upset. And the police officers really don't want to be there either. You know, if you're talking about a tough mediation situation, that is a tough mediation situation. You've got a really angry citizen on the one hand who's very upset about how the police treated him or her. And then you have a police officer on the other hand who is feeling defensive because they were just doing their job. They have a really tough job. They don't get paid a lot to do it. They put their lives on the line all the time. And here they're being hauled in by this irate person to account for how they did their job. So it's not a good situation to begin with. But, you know, this mediation went so well. I really want to share with you that by the end of the mediation, the two people were basically flirting, actually. I kid you not. The police officer and the person who had brought the complaint were, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if I got a wedding invitation out of it. Somebody said perhaps they'll start with an engagement party. That's fine. But it really was such a beautiful experience, you know, and it reinforced for me why I do what I do and the benefit that people can get from being in mediation, where you're able to take what I'm telling you right now, and all it is that I'm telling you. It's so much more powerful when you have it put into action. So if you're having an argument with someone, I really do suggest that you try a mediator. Give it a try. I can almost guarantee that you will be glad that you did. If you have more questions about mediation and how to find a mediator, I'm happy for you to contact me. You can visit my website, www.123untangled.com. You can also send me email at info@123untangled.com, and I am very happy to hear from you. All right, we're going to take a little bit of a break so that I can set up these phone calls, and also there's an email that I received that I'm going to share with you this week. But we're going to take a minute and return to the Akoya Afrobeat Ensemble. And this is a piece called Wahala. So take a moment, enjoy the music, and I'll be back with you in just a moment. This is Batabile Mtombini. I'm your host, mediator, and conflict coach. And this is Untangled Resolutions broadcast of The Problem is the Answer, coming to you live from Harlem, USA. And this is Wahala. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, we're back. Hope you enjoyed that. That was Walhalla by the Akoya Afrobeat Ensemble. And so we're getting ready here to take questions and comments from our listeners. The question on the table is, would you contact or call your ex on Valentine's Day to see how they're doing? Would you contact or call your ex to see how they're doing on Valentine's Day? Let's see if we can get a comment here. I've got the first caller on the line here, number one. And caller number one, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
So, anyway, ask the question. Uh-huh. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, about the guy who called his ex on Valentine's Day, right? Okay, I think that's kind of a no-brainer. He shouldn't have called his ex on Valentine's Day, especially because he broke up with her. So, like, to her, it was kind of like he's just rubbing it in, you know?
Okay, so she probably thought, what, that he's calling, you know, just to bother her?
Yeah, just to be mean. Why is he calling? Does he want to ask her out? Does he want to, you know, what is the purpose? She didn't want to break up with him, but he broke up with her. So now he should, you know, he should leave her alone. It's kind of like maybe he's done stuff like that before, and she felt like he was, you know, it's like emotional, you know, like he keeps pulling her in emotionally, but he's not really interested. So by now she's tired.
Okay.
So that was so foolish. He deserved it.
You know, I know him, and I know that he is a well-intended person. You know, he's not, he doesn't have a mean bone in his body. So his intent, and he told us what his intent was, he genuinely wanted to know how she was doing. And I guess since it was Valentine's Day, you know, she came to mind because it's Valentine's Day. But this is actually an interesting example of the difference between between intent and impact, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess that's true, isn't it?
Right, because he intended a good thing, but the impact on her was exactly the opposite of what he'd intended.
Yeah, so that was kind of selfish for him to call. I mean, maybe he didn't know that it was going to be like that, but I kind of think that he's one of those guys who's, like, clueless. And actually, that might have been what went wrong in his relationship in the first place.
Well, you've got a point there. You know, it's interesting. As we were sitting there around the table, it was a mixed group. There were men and women. And when he explained what happened and how it is that he got yelled at, you know, the guys all sat and sort of rubbed their chins and said, yeah, man, that was rough, man. That was harsh. The women, we were rolling. Okay?
Yes.
Rolling, just howling with laughter at the idea that he hadn't seen that he might get that reaction from her.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah, I'd have been one of the rolling ones, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Right. So there's definitely something to be learned from that. Yes, well, thank you for your comment. Did you have a question for me today?
You know, actually I did. I wanted to call because I have a friend who's having some trouble in her marriage, and I really want to say something to her that's going to help her to be able to, you know, make the situation come out the way she wants it to come out, you know? So, I mean, the bottom line, what's going on right now is that, like, her husband is not, you know, it's kind of like he's cut her off emotionally, and she is not willing to, you know, have any type of relationship with him. And so, you know, it's kind of like they're at a brick wall with each other, you know?
And, when you say relationship with him, what are you talking about?
Well, she's just not, you know, they're in separate bedrooms, and they're just kind of like their lives are apart, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's gotten like really, you know, it's gotten to a point where it's just a standoff, you know?
Mm-hmm. And so there's a question as to who's going to move first.
Yeah.
What do you understand as being what, you know, informs or what pushes the disagreements between them? How did they get there?
Well, you know, it's like, I guess sometimes when she talks to him, like maybe if she's upset and stuff, she doesn't talk like, you know, she might say something that he feels is rude. So he feels like she's not talking to him respectfully. But then, like, maybe, because you know how sometimes guys can't yell and fight with girls and keep up with girls? So, like, he just goes out and he does things that he knows is going to bother her. But then when he does things that bother her, she will turn around and do something to take revenge against him. And so it's, like, gone back and forth and back and forth like that until now it's, like, at a critical point now. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard because, you know, each one of them could probably make a list of everything that the other one has done to the other one. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, you know, I don't know what I can say because nobody wants to be like, okay, well, yeah, fine, my bad. And, you know, and see what they can do because, you know, they're both pointing fingers at each other. The other person must do something to fix it. And they both have equal points, you know, of what they've done to the other person. So it's like a real 50-50 situation, and I don't know how to convince my friend to, you know, like what she can do. You know, I don't know what to say to her to show her that, you know, the only way that it's going to work is if someone is willing to take a step back because,
right.
like, both of them, yeah.
Right. Well, you know, when people reach a situation like that with impasse, and it's going to sound as though I'm really pushing mediation here, and there's an aspect of that, of course, but truly speaking, the situation that you're describing is one where it can be really helpful to have a neutral third party get involved. That way, nobody has to feel as though they're giving up something by making the first move. Instead, it's a conversation that they're going to have about what each of them is contributing to the situation and what each of them needs from the situation in order to move forward. So
yeah.
I would suggest that you might talk to your friend about the benefits of mediation. There are a number of websites out there. If you Google mediation, you can find out about mediators in your area. Or, again, I'm always happy to help by providing information about mediators. And so they can visit my website, www.123untangled.com, and find a lot of information about mediation there. But, you know, hopefully that would be helpful to them and, you know, they'll take that step toward repairing their relationship. Okay?
Okay. That sounds really good.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
So, I don't know if you have any time. I kind of had another question.
How about this? May I put you on hold?
Okay.
And I do have somebody else who's on the line. I want to give a chance for as many different people as possible to call into the show. And then I can come back to you. And if I can't put you on hold, then I'll ask you to call back if something happens. But I'm going to be putting you on hold. You'll still be able to hear the show. And then I'll come back to you. Okay.
All right. Thanks.
No problem. All right. So, yes, when people are at a moment of impasse, that is where it can help to have an impartial third party come in, someone who's not taking sides, but who can actually help to find a way for folks to talk about what's bothering them without them feeling that they're losing anything. Okay, we're coming to our second caller. And caller, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. This is ASK Rod Didio. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you. I've seen you chatting there in the chat room, and I'm really glad that you're here on the show.
Well, yeah, I found you. I do one, you know, on my own in between times and whatnot, but I saw this one, and I wanted to call in because I saw the topic, and I wanted to comment, you know, briefly on as far as the Valentine's Day thing. You know, I think it's kind of relative if you look at it because, you know, not all the time. It's a thing where the guy knows one of the caller beforehand would mention something about it. It could be like rubbing it in or something like that. But I don't necessarily look at it that way. I think it could be a situation. What if it was just an amicable split And, you know, and he's calling or she's calling and saying, hey, you know, I'm just checking on you to see how it's going. So it's kind of relative, I think, in regards to the particular situation or however they came to that point. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, of course. Absolutely. And, you know, it's up to each person to understand their relationship and understand how that kind of a phone call would be received, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, one thing that I was saying, I had made a comment in the chat room as far as active listening.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I used to do a class in the military on communication. It was a communication model. They've since changed it since now, but, you know, the four parts of communication and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, and someone else commented as well, but, you know, it's very important that I think that, and you touched on it as far as when someone, you know, says something and then the receiver can repeat that or, you know, give them the gist of what they said so they get a clear and concise understanding of what they were saying. You know, to make sure that the sender knows what the communication was, and then they can, you know, do the rebuttal and so on and so forth. But, you know, it's just so important, I think, that the listening aspect should be really looked at, you know, from both the sender and the receiver. The listening aspect, meaning active listening, should be, you know, that's something that takes practice. It's not, you know, you think of it, you think, oh, yeah, I heard you. Yeah, you might have heard me, but did you? You know, or you may have listened to what I said, but did you hear what I said? You know, mm-hmm. one of those things.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I noticed in the chat room that you used the term active listening, and I thought, ah, this is a person who's familiar with this because this is exactly what I'm bringing forward. It is active listening precisely. And you're so right. I'm glad that you've called in and are able to confirm what I'm sharing with listeners today about active listening and about the importance of listening to be heard. So
absolutely,
I'm curious,
absolutely.
I'm interested, you said that you used this in the military. What was your experience with that?
Well, it was part of a workshop that what we had to do is, hold on, let me take this head. You know, I tried to use Skype, but I couldn't use Skype. It didn't work on for whatever reason. I don't know why,
okay.
But so I just called myself.
Thank you. We'll look into that.
What it was we, you know, I did workshops. New people coming into the military, we had to do workshops, what we call, you know, Navy Rights and Responsibilities workshops.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to do some training on communication, you know, and the communication model. That's what we called it back then.
Okay.
And so what it was, you know, it's very important, especially in the military, when an order is given, the receiver has to make sure and let the sender know that the order that was given was properly received, because if not, you know, hey, that's lies can be, you know, can be in the balance in that situation. So
right.
It was a lot of training on properly communicating, listening with, you know, sender receiver and, you know, the different barriers and filters that are in between the sender and the receiver,
mm-hmm.
that can affect and, you know, and disturb or distort the message that's being
right.
sent.
Right, right.
So it works out really, you know, it was a lot of training that we had to do, and I found it to be real good. And it you have to use it, and I think you have to use it in everyday life, just like what you were saying.
And, you know, one other thing that you said that is really important is about how it takes practice.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can give folks these tips here. They can listen to the show. They can come back to the archive and listen again. But really, it requires practice. I can do this the way I'm doing it because I've had 7 years of experience doing it and teaching it, practicing it. It takes time, especially when you have a relationship that has been established for a long time. Maybe it's a couple that's been together for a while, or it's family members who have, you know, decades of experience between them conducting their relationship in one way. It's not going to change overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really important for people to keep in mind as well, so that they don't lose hope when they try this once and it seems to blow up in their face. You know, it's not something that's necessarily going to happen overnight, but the rewards are worth it.
Absolutely.
They're worth it.
But you know, listen, I just want to let you know, this is the first time I listened, but like I said, I clicked on, I'm following you now. I really like it. How often do you do it? Do you do it just once a week or more?
Every week at 5 o'clock on Sunday Eastern Time, every week on Sunday.
Okay, and I heard you mention a site that you have, but I don't know if you put it on there. Is it possible that before the night's over, you can put it on the web, on your chat room, and
lock
it in?
I'm doing that right now. You might hear my typing. it is www.123untangled.com, and that's
okay,
the website.
Great.
Okay?
Very
and
good.
I put that
very
out.
Good.
Thank you so very much for calling in. I really appreciated your comments.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, there you have it. The military practices active listening. So if it's good for the military, of course, it must be good for you. Well, I guess that could be depend on your viewpoints on that. We're not going to get into that. This show is not exactly about politics. But active listening is what this is all about, and it can be really key in terms of saving your relationships, or if you decide that it is healthier to transition out of your relationships, being able to transition in a healthy way. Okay. I do want to let the first caller who called know that they did get dropped from the call. So I thought that I would be able to put them on hold, and that didn't happen. So if they're interested in calling back, that's fine. In the meanwhile, I want to go to an email that I received that I would like to bring to you. And the question that came to me was this one. How do I talk to someone, or what should I say to someone who has given me an STD? I kid you not, this was the question. And it is a deep question, okay? When I started the show, I thought, you know, I'm going to be talking with people about how it is that people forget to put the toothpaste back on the cap of the, or put the cap back on the toothpaste and things like that. But the truth of the matter is that the things people are calling in about really are deep. And so this is a really deep one as well. What do I say to somebody who's given me an STD or an STI, depending on where you are, a sexually transmitted disease or sexually transmitted infection? So I'm going to read to you the reply that I gave to the person who contacted me, because it does go a bit into this issue of impact versus intent. And I said, this is a very deep question. I need to know a little bit more about what happened to get into specifics, but one thing I can say preliminarily is that it is important to know what you want to get out of conversation with that person. What is your purpose in having the conversation? What you want to get out of it determines what you put into it. In a situation like this one, a number of questions come to mind. Did this person know they had an STD and yet exposed you anyway? Did they do so intentionally? Are they exposing other people? Once you know why you want to have the conversation, you can better plan what to say and ask. Generally, I suggest taking an approach that separates intent from impact. When someone does something to you that affects you negatively, you tend to assume that the person intended the negative impact of their behavior. However, if you approach the person with that attitude, it usually puts them on the defensive, and so you are never able to really get to the bottom of the issue, which is what need really inspired them to do that thing. Also, it prevents you from being able to hear what they have to say, and also it prevents them from being able to be honest with you because they are afraid of your anger. So you wouldn't be able to hear from them whether they recognize how they have hurt you, because instead they'd be on the defensive based on their fear of your anger. So it's important that you set a situation where they can feel safe enough to apologize and take responsibility. So I suggest talking about the impact without making assumptions about their intent. Focus on how now having this STD has impacted you and how it has caused you to wonder, why would they do such a thing? Then actually listen to the answer. At first, they will be defensive because they will automatically believe that you are out to hurt them back. That is the conventional reaction that people have. But with some time, it is possible that the other person will realize that you don't seek revenge. Rather, you seek understanding. And then perhaps you can have the conversation you seek. So that was my answer regarding that question. And the upshot of the answer was that although this person was very upset about what had happened and what the other person's contribution was, that really they wanted an answer that explained why. And if you want to get the answer to the question why, it's important to step back, give the other person space to have that conversation with you. Then this person contacted me again and said, "Thank you for your response. It was very helpful. I have another question for you. What do I tell my wife? I think she's infected too." And I'll be honest, that set me back, because now you have a situation where three people are involved and there's no way that it's going to be easy for anyone. Because now this person has to go and tell his wife that not only did he cheat on her, but that he has likely given her a sexually transmitted infection. And what's important for him to understand about this is that there really isn't much of a choice here when it comes to matters like this. I mean, this is her health. An infection that might be an annoyance for men can be deadly in women. So it is really important that she be checked out, and that she be checked out soon, because time can really matter in situations like this. So he's going to have to talk to her. He really doesn't have a choice about this. And he has to know that it's going to be difficult for everyone who's involved. So I sat back and I thought, well, how can I, in the brief amount of time that we have on a radio show, address this situation? Because normally, you know, if you were my client and this were a conflict coaching situation, we'd have at least an hour and a half. You know, usually we meet for an hour and a half at a time to really sit and go through what happened, both in terms of what was going on for him when he made the decision to sleep with this other woman, and also what's going on for him as he faces talking to his wife. But without the luxury of time, here are a few things that I can offer. One is that he be prepared for his wife's reaction to manifest and evolve over time. What he has to tell her is very difficult to hear, and so she may at first be angry and then devastated. She may blame him, blame herself, blame the other woman. You know, she may at one point decide she wants to leave him and another point decide she wants to come back. The point of the matter is usually in situations like this, emotions evolve over time. And so he's going to need to be patient and just understand that this is what's going to happen. And that it will be helpful for him to spend a lot of time just listening and letting her speak and understanding that whatever she says to him will probably be full of blame and accusations, and that's understandable, and that for him it's important to not get on the defensive in this situation, not to try to defend his behavior. That will send things down a road into a whole another argument, and you know that there would be no opportunity for coming to some kind of a resolution, but that he acknowledge the hurt and the damage that he has done to his wife by making the decision that he did, and that he express to her his sorrow and be prepared for her not to be ready to accept it, at least not right away. Also, if it is available to them, I would suggest that they speak with a therapist. You know, this is a situation where I would advise, you know, in his circumstance, he would be talking to a conflict coach. He may ask for a mediator, but relationship mediators tend to focus on resolving disputes of a finite nature. So if it's divorce mediation, then it is about going through the process of a divorce that has a beginning and it has an end, and then a part where you go forward and live new lives under the new agreement that you've come to, which is the divorce agreement. But it's a, you know, pretty finite kind of thing. In relationship mediation, we work with folks who need to make a decision about, you know, maybe a large purchase or moving somewhere or taking a job, you know, arguments that are about finite things. This situation involves the relationship itself, the whole of the relationship. And so here's where it might be useful for them to consider talking to a therapist. And he could choose to go to a therapist on his own to begin with and work with them about how to approach his wife. And then he might suggest that the two of them go to therapy together if she is amenable. And she may not be at first. It might be something that she'd be more open to later down the line. Whatever the case is, from the health standpoint, it really is very, very important to let her know as soon as possible so that she can get screened and get medical attention if that is necessary. And I have to say my heart goes out to you. I wish you the best on this, and I invite you to contact me again for follow-up if that would be helpful to you. Okay, so that was the question that came via email. And I want you all to know that you are welcome to send me questions via email. My email address is info@123untangled.com. That's info@123untangled.com. Or visit the website, www.123untangled.com. Okay, so we have our caller back here on the line, and I'm going to go back to the phone, and let's talk with our caller. All right, you're on the air.
I just wanted to say the FBI guy had better travel to another country before he calls his wife.
I think you have a point. I really do think you have a point. I mean, that really is. Talk to me about what was your reaction when you heard this.
That's how I felt. He better be far, far away, unreachable. Anyway, I have a question for you.
Okay.
I would like to retire, and I heard you mention something about using a method of looking at your desires, wants, and outcomes, something like that. Could you go over something like that to help me make up my mind whether I should retire here or go overseas?
Well, I think that what you're talking about is actually really pertinent, because our next show, the one that's scheduled for next week, is about precisely that. And it's called What is Your PIN? What is your position, interest, and need? And that's what you're talking about, is taking a deeper look at positions, interests, and needs. And so I have next week's show entirely dedicated to that, but I can address that really briefly. You know, we talked in the first show, Listen to Be Heard, about identifying positions, interests, and needs when you're listening to somebody that you're having an argument with. Well, the same information can be helpful when you're trying to make a decision for yourself. and it's a challenging decision, and you're weighing the pros and cons. And perhaps you have a number of positions on it. You know, it sounds like you have to decide between staying here. Am I right? Staying here and moving. You said something about moving abroad.
Yes.
Okay. So staying wherever it is that you are, or moving abroad. So those are two positions. And so with each position, then you can examine the interests and the needs that come out of that. So let me ask you this. Would you mind tuning into the show next week when I go into that more in detail? Or is this a decision that you have to make right this minute?
No. I'll be glad to tune in next week.
Okay. And so I promise we're going to go into that in more detail so that I can explain it. We have about 10 or 11 minutes remaining in the show, and I'd hate to get started and have to, you know, shut off the conversation before we're able to get to a place where it's really helpful and you can understand what I'm talking about. But you are absolutely correct. There is a way that I use, there's a process that I use with my clients when they're in conflict coaching and they're having trouble making a decision about something that's really important. I will ask them about what are their positions, what are their interests, and what are their needs, and help them to make a decision about what to do in the situation. And then if making that decision involves other people, I can help them to understand ways that they can communicate their interests and their needs to other people so that they don't end up having an argument with the other person about the position. You know, it's very easy for people to have arguments about position. Yes, that's true. No, it's not. Yes, I'm right. You're wrong. That kind of thing. That back and forth is what happens when people talk on the level of positions. When you're talking on the level of interests and needs, it becomes more difficult for a person to argue with you about those things. You know, if you say, I need such and such, who's going to be able to argue with you about that? It's your need. You know, there's no argument about that. Whether they feel you are entitled to having that need met is a different question. And so when you explain the interest that underlies that need or that informs that need, you know, that's when people can start to understand each other's points of view and then have a problem-solving conversation where they now sit down and negotiate an outcome without resorting to having arguments going back and forth about their positions. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So we're going to talk about that more next week, and I welcome you and everybody else to join me in that conversation. And I thank you so much for calling. Was there anything else?
No, that will be all. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Talk to you later.
I'll be tuning in.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye. Okay, so I'm going to go back to the chat room here and see what's been going on. And answer some questions. There's a question here from someone who's asking about where I come from, actually. So it's going to take a little bit of a detour. I mentioned South Africa and that people are listening in South Africa, and I'm very happy for that. I was born in South Africa, but I actually am broadcasting to you live, if you're listening right now. I'm broadcasting to you live from Harlem, USA. That's in New York City. And South Africa is, of course, very special to me because it is the land of my birth, and so is the United States important to me. This is where I grew up, and I'm very happy and proud to have grown up here. So that is the answer to that question. We are coming down to the end of the show, and I again want to thank you for tuning in. For those of you who are listening to the archived version of the show, I'm also grateful to you for listening. Since the show started back on the 23rd of January, we have had over 1,000 listens to the show, and I was really happy to find out this morning that we had crossed the 1,000th threshold. So that's a wonderful milestone, and I owe it all to you who are listening to the show and sharing information about the show with other people. Please invite people to the show. Contact me with your questions. Let me know how the show can be improved. If there are particular topics that you're interested in having covered, I'm really happy to hear about that. In future shows, I'm also inviting guests to come on. We're going to be hearing from an ombudsman, and I wonder how many of you know what an ombudsman or an ombudsperson is, and whether you have an ombudsperson in your workplace. That's often where ombudspeople function, is in workplaces and universities and colleges and so forth. An ombudsperson can be a really important addition to a conflict resolution program in an institution. So I'm going to be bringing on a friend of mine who's an ombudsman to talk about that. I'll also be bringing in folks who are experts in relationship therapy and also self-therapy, who can talk about how you can take care of yourself, take care of the inner you while you are negotiating an ongoing argument or an ongoing dispute with somebody in your life. You know, it is very stressful to be involved in an argument or an ongoing dispute with someone, especially when it's somebody who's really important to you, who's really special to you. One of the things that I do as part of Entangled Resolutions is to publish an e-zine. And if you're interested in receiving the e-zine, I should mention, you can send me an email and ask to be put on the mailing list, or go to the website and sign up right there on the website, www.123entangle.com. Each month, which is when we publish the e-zine, it's on a monthly basis, we have a section called self-care. And the reason we have that section is in recognition of the fact that people who are stressed out in their relationships really do need ways of taking care of themselves so that they remain healthy while they negotiate their relationships. So these are some of the things that are coming up next week, 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. You can join us here, www.blogtalkradio.com/batabile. And our topic next week is going to be, what is your PIN, your positions, your interests, and your needs? And it is a show on self-advocacy. So we've been talking about active listening. Now we're going to shift a little and talk about self-advocacy and how it is that you can help a person that you're actually perhaps in an argument with to begin with actually collaborate with you on resolving the issue. So that's some really powerful information, and I encourage you to join us again next week, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, Eastern Standard Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com. So I think that's about it for today. We're going to go back to the Akoya Afrobeat Ensemble. That's the name of the group that we've been playing. If you want more information about them, you can visit their MySpace page. And I'm looking here quickly through my notes for the link to the website. It is www.myspace.com/Akoya Afrobeat, AKOYA AFROBEAT. And I'd like to say a special thank you to my friend Duke Bantu X for his permission to bring this wonderful ensemble to you. He also has some independent projects that I'm hoping to bring to you in the future. So support the music, buy your music, please. Musicians depend on you purchasing the music for their livelihoods, and they work very hard for that. So I really encourage you to buy your music, enjoy music, and here's some music to send us out. Until next week, have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.
This one is called President de Facto. You see, in Africa, as is in the so-called third world, when the president, the African president, goes to the yeah work, nothing moves. Because of insecurity, President Obama.
Thank you.